begins to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth Time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, listen, friend, I've said this time and time again. I'm going to say it again today. If He isn't your Savior, He can be. He wants to be. And according to Luke 19 and 10, He came to be. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, Debbie and I are always humbled and honored that you have chosen to tune in and meet with us here as we look at the Word of God. And listen, friend, as the Word of God looks at us. So I trust that our time together will be a blessing. We want to glorify God, want to rightly divide the Word of God, and want to be a blessing to folks that tune in. We certainly want to do that. I've opened my Bible to the book of Numbers, chapter 32, going to read a very familiar verse to Bible readers. And, I can quote part of it, the part that I want to use for the message. When I get there, listen, friend, this message that I'm beginning today will probably turn into at least two messages and maybe more, but friend, I'll tell you what, the subject matter needs to be addressed, and I'm ashamed, I'll be honest with you, that I don't deal with it any more than I do. Oh, I mention it quite often, but to deal with it as specifically as I am in this message and the message probably next week, the Lord willing, listen, friend, we need to do more of this. David's got a song queued up, tuned up, ready to go. The title of it is Saved by the Blood of the Lamb. And listen, the only way we can be saved is by the blood of the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. Enjoy the song. We'll be back with a message very soon.
Oh, I have been set free, and I will live eternally, cause I've been born again since I've been saved.
That blood that was shed at Calvary. Friend, listen, there was no accident. It wasn't spilled. I hear singers sing the words of songs that somebody has written, and they talk about the blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary as if it were an accident like that he spilled it. But hey, friend, I want you to know it wasn't spilled. It was shed, It was shed for my sins and your sins and the sins of all the world. It was no accident that Christ died. It was a plan that came out of eternity, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Listen, sir, ma'am, you can be saved today if you choose to be. It's all by the grace of God. That's right. The Bible said, Jesus did, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And I believe that the Lord's dealing with you. You wouldn't be listening to this old country preacher. You wouldn't be listening to this old country preacher if the Spirit of God wasn't dealing with you, if you weren't thinking about eternity, if you weren't thinking about where you're going to spend it. Friend, listen, this life is short compared to one that's just beyond the grave, and you need to prepare. And the place to prepare for tomorrow, or the place to prepare for eternity, is here in this life. The time to prepare for tomorrow is today. It'll be too late. Look, friend, our eternity is decided in this life, not in the life that is yet to come. In the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 23, I want to read the whole verse, just get a part of it as my text. This is Moses talking to some of the children of Israel. He's talking to all of them, but he is directing his verbiage to two tribes, to the tribe of Judah, or Reuben, excuse me, and Gad, and even it will eventually include a half of tribe of Manasseh. But listen to what Moses said. He said, but if you will not do so, and I'll tell you what that do so is in just a moment. Behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Now watch this. This is what I want you to get. We don't hear this quoted too often anymore. We ought to quote it often. We ought to remember it. We ought to consider it. We ought to understand it. But listen, sir, ma'am, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your state is in life, what your position is, your education. I don't care who you know, what you know. I don't care where you've been, what you've got, what you have planned. But I want you to know this. Be sure your sins will find you out. That goes for me too, friend. Listen, I had to learn that. I still understand that. But listen, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, that's not the text for this message. I've got a text that I'm going to give you in just a little bit, but I've got to set the message up before I do. When Moses spoke this passage of Scripture, the children of Israel were ready to go into the land of promise. They were positioned to go into that place that God promised Abraham and his seed following him. And you know what? When the children of Gad and Reuben got to the place of where King Og and King Shihon had dwelt and had been killed and defeated by the children of Israel, they began to look around and said, man, it's pretty land. I mean, it's a great place to raise our cattle, to settle down, to raise our families. You know what they began to do? They begin to tell Moses, hey, look, we want this land. Now, there's a lot of questions about these two tribes stopping short of going across Jordan. They were still in the promised land. That's exactly what the Word of God would teach us. Even the land on the east side of the river, it extends all the way to the Euphrates River, is the land of promise. Why they didn't want to go across? I know they were walking by sight. I know it was a real request. They were honest in their desire. Moses said, wait just a minute. Moses said, I'm going to tell you what. This will cause a problem. We've done been here once. We've done been divided over this. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'll let you do that if you men will go into battle with everybody else that's crossing Jordan. If you go into battle with them and stay as long as it takes to defeat the enemy in the land of promise, if you stay with them and fight the battles, then when all of that is over, you can retreat back here to this side of Jordan. You can build your houses, raise your cattle, and raise your family. But he said, now look, if not, if you don't stay with the children of Israel, if you don't stay with Joshua and the people until the land is subdued, listen, friend, you're going to be guilty. God's going to judge you, and be sure your sin will find you out. If you think we're living in a strange day, would you say amen with me? I'm telling you, friend, I've never in my entire life seen anything like the day and the hour that we live in. I mean to tell you, there has been so much change in the 70 short years of my life, it is shocking. Do you hear me? It is shocking. We're living in a day, friend, when sin is rampant in America, but people no longer know what sin is. They're doing it, they're living it, they're practicing it, but they don't call it sin. They absolutely don't call it sin. But can I tell you, sin, whether men and women want to believe it or not, agree with it or not, accept it or not, according to the Word of God, not T.K. Price, but the Word of God, listen, they're sinning. They're sinning with great gusto, unfortunately. I mean to tell you, listen to what the book of Isaiah says in chapter 5. And I was going to turn there and read a couple of verses out of it in just a minute. But I'll just get there a little early and look at what Isaiah said the nation of Israel were doing in his day. He said, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with the cords of vanity and sin as if it were a cart rope." They're sinning grossly and grievously as if it were nothing serious, nothing big, just a normal, natural way of life. Hey, listen, sin. Friend, sin is a serious thing. People don't recognize it as such today. And while I'm here at Isaiah chapter 5, we're living in a time, friend, where sin is no longer called sin, and yet it is sin. This is what people are doing. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter, that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. But woe unto them, woe unto them," the Word of God says. Now listen, friend, if there were no judgment, if there were no eternity, if there were no God, if there were no Creator, if there was no righteousness, no holiness, if there was no heaven to gain, no hell to shun, no big problem. But can I tell you, sir, ma'am, look in the mirror. You and I are going somewhere in eternity. There's only two places. Hey, look, there's not a pretty good place for pretty good people. There's a place for those who are saved. It's a resting place. The songwriter said, it's heaven according to the Word of God. And then there is a place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And sir, ma'am, if you don't realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, call upon Christ as you repent of your sin. I hate to tell you this, it breaks my heart to tell you this, but that will be your eternal destiny. And I don't want you to go there. There's a lot of people, listen, friend, a lot of preachers like Joel Osteen that won't preach about sin, but I'm still going to preach about your sin. You say, "Why, preacher?" Because your sins, my sins, will find us out. Nobody can sin and get away with it. Now, where I'm going is to the book of Joshua. We're going to look at two different people, two different families, and how they dealt with sin. One is right, one is wrong. In fact, you'll find that one family started wrong but ended right, while one family started right and ended all wrong. We're living in a day when truth has fallen into the streets. And look, people say, "Well, it's not my truth just because it's your truth." I'm going to tell y'all something. You and I aren't the standard for truth. Do you hear me? Whether or not you embrace truth, truth is truth. We can do nothing, the Word of God says, against the truth. And let me stop right here just for a moment. That's what the problem is. People have abandoned the Word of God. They have forsaken the unadulterated Word of Almighty God. I'm still an old-fashioned King James Bible preacher. I say that with no apologies. I know it is a conviction, but this conviction is based upon reality. I'm here to tell you, I believe that you could do a timeline paralleling the changes that America has made and printed and produced with what they call the Word of God to the downgrading that we're seeing and the fruit that we're reaping in America because of it. Listen, I'm going to stick with the tried and with the proven. And I want you to know, friend, listen, truth is truth. Whether you like it or not, You may want to not want to live by it. You may be in rebellion by it. But let me tell you something, sir, ma'am. The Bible says in the book of John 12:48, this word that I speak, these words that I speak unto you, these words, it's talking about His words, it's talking about the Word of God. These words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day. You can hold the Word of God in contempt. You can do what that ignorant young lady did in a video I saw on YouTube one day, where she stood with impotence, with ignorance, and took the Word of God and began to rip pages out of it. You can do anything that you want to the Word of God. You can do anything you choose to do in this life in rebellion against God. But let me tell you something, sir, ma'am, be sure your sins will find you out. You won't die for your mom's sins, your dad's sins, your husband's sins, your wife's sins, your children's sins, your brother's sins, your sister's sins, your neighbor's sin, your cousin's sin, your family's sin. You'll die, sir, ma'am, and stand before God and give an account of the deeds done in your life. Now there is a way, the Word of God says in the book of Proverbs 14:12, I believe it is, that seemeth right, then thereof the ways of death. I'm going to tell you what's the truth. We're in trouble. We're neck deep in trouble because we've abandoned the Word of God. We've abandoned, bless God, the measuring rod of truth. It's holy, friend. It's righteous. It's God's. And I want you to know He gave us truth for our benefit and our betterment, and so that we could be right with God. You can choose to do with it what you will. And regardless of whether you think what you think about God, God's still God. You hear me? God is still God. The Word of God is eternal forever. It is settled in heaven. And you say, preacher, you're preaching all that religious stuff. You're preaching all that tradition. You're preaching all of that junk that I don't believe. Well, sir, ma'am, mark this down. Go somewhere. Mark your calendar. Put it in the deepest recesses of your memory, if you will, sir, ma'am. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you get on the other side of this life in eternity, and like the rich man of the book of Luke, chapter 16, I'm not judging you, but if you die lost, this is what the Word of God says about you. In hell, you'll lift up your eyes. And can I guarantee you something? You'll remember this message. You'll remember this preacher that loves you enough to tell you the truth, that loves you enough to warn you about eternity, that loves you enough to tell you that the Word of God says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one, that we're all in need of a Savior. And that's why Jesus came into this world through a virgin's womb, lived sinless among us, died substitutionally for us on the third and appointed day. After that He was crucified and died on Calvary, He came out from among the dead. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He wasn't going on vacation in this world. He wasn't coming in this world, friend, to just tell pretty stories and give a parable or two. He came on eternal business. He came to give His life a ransom for men and women like you. Men and women who had enmity against God. Men and women who were in rebellion against God. Men and women who have thumbed their nose to God. Men and women that have denied there is a God. That have cursed Him and blasphemed Him. And I want you to know, regardless of what we do or think about it, God's still God. His Word is still His Word. We can reject Him. We can abandon the truth. But let me tell you something we cannot do. We cannot change the consequences of our sin. Listen, sin must be dealt with either in this life or the next. It either needs to be dealt with now or to be dealt with eternally. Now look, some of you say, boy, I've never been convicted. Or, hey, look, you ever had a guilty conscience? Well, maybe not now, preacher, but have you ever had one? You remember when you were a kid? You remember when mom said, are you in the cookie jar? You remember how you felt? Had heartburn really quick? I mean, to tell you, when somebody accused you of something or asked you about something you knew you were guilty of, there's all of us, friend, that remember those times. You may have gotten to the place where your conscience is seared because you have overridden it time and time again. But if you look and be honest in your heart and in your mind and in your memory, you'll realize and remember that when you told that lie, there was something went on in you that troubled you. Hey, listen, friend. We either deal with sin in this life or in the next to come. And there's a standard. It's what God has said. It's what God has written in His Word, friend. And look, we can miss the mark. That's what sin is, missing the mark. None of us are righteous. None of us are holy. None of us in all of the righteous deeds that we do. And we don't always do wrong. There are times that we do right towards God. Time that we do right toward our neighbor. But listen to me, the right things that we do won't get us to heaven. They'll deceive us if we're trusting in them. The right things that gets us to heaven are the things that Christ did as our substitute, taking our sin upon Him, suffering our separation from God, suffering our place on Calvary, our death, our consequences for sin. He was our substitute. He willingly went to Calvary because we have transgressed the laws of God. That's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. God said, look, Adam, don't eat of the tree don't eat of the fruit that's on the tree in the midst of the garden, because in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. God put a standard up. God, listen, set a boundary. And you know what Adam and Eve did? They transgressed it. They breached it. They went beyond it. How many times have you gone beyond something you know is good for you? Something that you know is not good for you. How many of you lived in rebellion? You've heard God speak. You've had Him to wake you in the middle of the night. You've heard Him cry out in that still, small voice. It sounds like He's shouting at us, friend. Now look, the sad part I'm thinking right now about this message. There's a lot of people have done gotten to the place that they don't hear from God anymore. God's answered their prayers. They've prayed, leave me alone. You know what? God has left them alone. The Bible tells us that God will turn us over to a reprobated mind so that we'd believe a lie and be damned. Oh, I pray, sir, ma'am, that's not your life. God will leave you alone if you want Him to. I mean, to tell you, He tells us in the book of Proverbs, and can I read a couple out of chapter 1 since I'm so close to it? He said, listen, because I have called and you have refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not, all my counsels and would none of my reproof. He said, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now see, that frightens me for you, sir and ma'am. If that is you, if that fits you, if you've said, God, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I want nothing to do with you. God's heard you and maybe He's left you alone. Now listen, we're going to find out in Achan's life that Achan did the wrong thing with sin. He covered it up. I mean to tell you, he covered it up, tried to hide it in his tent, in the middle of his tent, and always thought that was a picture of hiding it in the midst of his heart. But God knows our heart and the intent of it. God knows our down settings or uprising. He knows all there is to know about me and you, sinner friend, and even saint alike. Achan died over it. And you know what? This man even took his children into judgment and into death. Isn't that amazing? Our lives are affecting other people's lives around us, and it's even affecting our nation, our world. But there was a woman who started out, according to the Word of God, when we're introduced to her as a prostitute, a woman of ill repute, a woman that had a reputation. Isn't that amazing? To being the wrong kind of woman. But can I tell you what? Though she lived much of her life like that, though she started her adult life like that, whereas Achan started right and ended wrong, Rahab started wrong and ended right. And you can do that today, sinner friend. If you just realize you're a sinner, if you just listen to the Spirit of God that's dealing with you, if you understand and are willing to admit that you're a sinner, regardless of what kind of sinner you are, you're a sinner in need of a Savior. If you run to Jesus by faith, tell Him that you believe that God has raised Him from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Father, save everyone that will call upon You now. Deliver them from their sins, from their Christless eternity. They may have started wrong. Help them to live right in Christ's name. Amen.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. And you are the